We all expect Ohio State to be one of the better college football teams this year. Some of you think they'll be undefeated. There might be one loss. Well, what do our good friends at BetOnline.net think about how successful the Buckeyes will be this year?
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeyes fans? Welcome back for another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Tuesday, May 24th in the year 2022, and I want to thank you for making Locked On Buckeyes your first listen or first watch of every single day. Well, on today's episode, we will discuss a possible sign of change in college football, specifically in the Big Ten Football Conference, and we continue our Buckeye road trip around the NFL discussing season expectations for Pete Werner. But first, Ohio State is going to be one of the best teams in college football. I don't think that's something that is a stretch of the imagination or something that you might disagree with. But how many wins will they have this year? Have they looked at their schedule? Have you looked and seen how good teams are projected to be? Well, our good friends at BetOnline.net recently unveiled their over-under win totals for the upcoming college football season. The Buckeyes open as 11 wins last year was the opening line for the over-under win total for the Buckeyes. This year, they open up at 10.5. And at first glance, you might say, Jay, I got pushback for you. 10.5? Where's everybody else listed? I mean, where are the other top teams in college football? Where are those schools? What do they think? What does Bet Online think about their win totals? Is Ohio State falling from the elite of the elite? Or is this the top of the top, the elite of the elite? Is this where they are standing right now for their over under win totals? For Alabama currently right now, I'm going in alphabetical order based off the things that I have here on my paper. Alabama right now, their over-under win total is opening at 10.5 via betonline.net. Clemson, 10.5. Georgia, 10.5. So with those three schools in mind, I do believe that Notre Dame has opened up at 9.5. I only wrote down when I talk about the elite of the elite, those that opened up at 10, a double-digit win total via BetOnline. Those are the ones I wrote down on my paper. Notre Dame's not here. Texas isn't here. Oklahoma's not here. USC, I did not see them there. And so with that in mind, I do think Ohio State is right there. And I even saw someone recently say that these four schools, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, will be the four playoff teams in the upcoming season. I can't see that. I would give pushback if somebody said USC is going to be their over-under win total should be at 10.5, should be at 10. I may give you 9.5. Because Lincoln Riley going to a new place and a place that really hasn't been successful in a really, really long time, that makes sense to push back on them being a double-digit win. When speaking of betting lines right now what are betting lines supposed to do? Entice you to put money on it. Entice you to put your money down and say, well, I am going to put money down on this. Here's my stamp of approval on what I believe. Well, I believe Ohio State's going to go undefeated. It's possible they have one loss. Would I put money on Ohio State winning more than 10.5 games right now? Absolutely. Absolutely. I could possibly see one hiccup. I don't see two. These are regular season win totals, not win totals for the entire season. Big Ten Championship and a couple more playoff games add to the number of games the Buckeyes will play this year. But when it comes to the Big Ten Conference, Ohio State's the only team that has a higher than 9.5 win total for the upcoming season. The team up north, 9.5. Wisconsin, 8.5. Rutgers, 4.5. Purdue, 7.5. Penn State, 8.5. Nebraska, who I think will be better than last year, but not one of the elite teams in the country, 7.5. Indiana and Tom Allen, they might be parting ways at the end of the year or maybe during the year because their win total right now is 4.5. And would I put money on the Indiana Hoosiers to win more than 4.5 games? I don't know. I have no idea what they have coming back. Well, I do know a little bit, and it's not very good. Ohio State's team. Now, remember, this is in May. This is coming out in May. So this is a great time of year for you and I to discuss things at home, at the bar, or things like that. But I would have no, no, problem. No problem putting money on the Buckeyes to win over 10.5 games in the upcoming season. The talent on the team is crazy. The amount of things that Ohio State has worked on in the offseason, they're unprecedented for a team, for a lot of teams at college football, because some teams would be very, very happy with the success, well, the play that the team had last year. A lot of teams would be A-OK with how Ohio State's season went, winning the Rose Bowl, having two losses. Most teams in college football, that's a success. Not in Columbus. That's not going to sit well with you. That's not going to sit well with me. That's not going to sit well with a lot of people involved. And I do believe, with the changes I believe and the difference in mentality that I believe we're going to see on defense, I do currently believe that Ohio State will be a team this year that wins more than 10.5 games in the regular season. Now, granted, this line could go up and creep up to the 11 where it was at the beginning of last year. I do think we might creep up to the 11. Would I put money on Ohio State going undefeated? That's where things get interesting. That's where I think things get a little tricky. Do you want to put your money on Ohio State being winning 10.5 games? I think most people would. But would you put money on it and say, here's X amount of dollars. I'm going to wager this, bet this on the Buckeyes going undefeated. I don't know about that one. I don't know. Think about the last time we had an undefeated national champion. Think about the last time, how often we have undefeated national champions. Think about how often we have teams be undefeated in their own conference championship game. It's hard. It's really, really, really hard. So, yes, I love the Buckeyes. I also think this is a favorable line for betonline.net to put money on the over. If I was a betting man, I'm going over 10.5 wins on the season for the Ohio State Buckeyes, because the expectations and the things that we have seen and heard from around Columbus so far to this point in the year, they are telling me the Buckeyes are going to be one of those teams that nobody wants to mess with during the upcoming college football season. With BetOnline helping us out with our betting lines, how about we look at some other things that they help us do, being our partners and the number one source for our betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thank you for making Locked On Buckeyes your first listen every day. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. The Locked On Sports Today podcast is available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your fine podcast. We have recently heard that the Pac-12 has decided to go away from divisions and change how they schedule college football games and sign the Pac-12 conference. We have heard rumblings about things going on in the SEC that they might have their own playoff. A little interesting, but these are things that we're hearing right now in college football that conferences are doing. Well, the Big Ten recently made a subtle change, well, not a subtle change, but a silent change that might speak volumes about how things are going for the Ohio State Buckeyes and how things might be for them when playing and how the conference decides who plays in the Big Ten championship game. Well, the Big Ten recently erased all future schedules 2023 and beyond on their website. And when I think about that, it's something that someone tweeted out to me, shared to me, and then I saw on Twitter somebody else recently said the same thing, did a little researching, and it does seem like there is a sign of things to come for the schedule change for Big Ten football games. I don't know if it's going to be division realignment, conference realignment, where you're adding teams to the conference. I'm not sure exactly what the change is. The one thing I am a pusher of and a proponent of is scrapping divisions. I would even scrap pods. If you want to keep pods and say, well, teams play two teams every year or three teams every year, and then go that way. Well, it's kind of hard to do that when you have 14 teams in a conference. It's going to be kind of hard to evenly divide everything up. Plus, when you want to think about competitive balance, yes, everybody has a primary rival. Well, remember, Ohio State, some of you don't agree with this, Ohio State has a rivalry with Penn State and with Illinois, the Ally Buck, one of the weirdest names for a trophy. But Ohio State has that rivalry with Illinois. Well, Ohio State doesn't play Illinois every year. Even if they did, it would be a smacking, a mollywopping every time they play. But would it be better for competitive balance if Ohio State did not play Penn State every year, but played Michigan and Illinois? Probably. But what about Penn State, where Penn State wants to play Ohio State? It's a great test of how good they are in the season, where it's also a great test for Ohio State to see how they stack up against a team that's really, really physical every single year. So where do you sit? Where do you go with that? I would just say scrap divisions, figure it out, make it as competitive as possible, figure things out like the NFL does. You might know your matchups at the end of the year based off how your regular season record was and try to make things competitive. Just go ahead and do that, and that'd be A-okay. That would be smart. But if the Big Ten is making a silent move to go away from things with their conference and how they're going to change the scheduling, I think it's long overdue. It's long past due. I mean, if you look at the recent Big Ten Conference Championship games, and this is basically what this is, can we get the best teams in our conference championship game to make money? And by doing that, it's a more competitive game. We're going to get more money from the television networks. And ultimately, the teams that go to the playoff, the Big Ten will get more because of the competitive nature of their conference championship game. So over the past years of the Big Ten championship game, Ohio State has been in it 4 years in a row from 2017 through 2020. They made an appearance in 2014, but that's it. They have made, also in 2013. So of the numerous years that they have been there, the first 2 years, Ohio State was not there. They were in the next 2 years. They were 2 years off. Ohio State was not in it last year. Will there be another absence from Ohio State in the Big Ten Conference Championship game this year based off how things are currently? I don't think so, but the trend may say so. But if you look at how things would be if they put the teams in the conference championship game that had the best winning percentage that were in the Big Ten Conference Championship game, Ohio State would be in the conference championship game every year but three, 2011, 2012, and 2015. 2015, it would have been Michigan State and Iowa. And 2011 would have been Michigan State and Wisconsin. 2012 would have been Michigan and Nebraska. So outside of that, the Buckeyes run the conference, and I do think having the teams that have the best winning percentage in the conference championship game, it's great for business, it's great for the schools involved, it's great for recruits, it's great for the conference, it's great for everything. Another thought that I had about this situation was actually something I had last week. When the Pac-12 decided to scrap divisions and say the best two teams in our conference will play in our conference championship game, I thought, since the Pac-12 and Big Ten have a contractual obligation to do things together when it comes to the Rose Bowl, and since they have some type of a gentleman's agreement to do things together, remember back in 2020 when the Pac-12 decided to delay their season shortly after the Big Ten did, I thought that the Big Ten was going to follow suit with the Pac-12 and immediately, instantaneously scrap divisions. That does not mean they have to change a schedule. Might I add, remember this. If somebody scraps divisions, they don't have to scrap the schedule for this current year, for the upcoming year. You don't have to do that. The one thing you can do is keep the same schedule, the best two winning percentages in your conference. Those teams ultimately play in the conference championship game. It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science at all. You could realize the Big Ten West is not as good as the Big Ten East. Some of you have kids that are young, little youngsters that are rabid and crazy college football fans. They can tell you Nebraska, Iowa, Wisconsin. I'm naming except for Nebraska, some of the better teams on that side of the conference. Purdue, Minnesota. There is a drop-off between the Big Ten East teams and the Big Ten West teams. Don't overthink it. That's one thing I hear all the time about people in life. We make decisions and we overthink them. Man, we overthink this. And man, we overthink that. And man, we overthink everything. Well, just don't overthink it. And I'm not, notice, I have not said one name the entire time. And you're going to say, well, Jay, why haven't you said Kevin Warren's name? This ain't on Kevin Warren. This ain't on him. Yes, he's a spokesman. Yes, he runs a conference. But there was a football division that works inside the Big Ten Conference, and they even hired an advisor to help with things going on with the football. I do believe Kevin Warren could be a different type of, well, his leadership might be silent behind closed doors currently instead of up front and making statements, which whatever. Okay, that's fine. You have your own leadership style. I'm not going to be somebody that's going to point the finger at Kevin Warren. I am not going to do that. But one thing I will say is, he can assist and give his advice and help people make the best decisions for the conference. And I ultimately believe the best thing for them is what they have kind of done silently, change things down the road. The change I would make, scrap divisions. Get rid of them. Put the best two teams that have the highest winning percentages in the conference in your Big Ten championship game. Think about how much money Fox is going to pay for that. Think about the ratings. Think about the eyeballs. Think about all of that. It's a move in the right direction. And your boy hopes the Big Ten Football Conference moves in that way. One thing I do believe you're going to do as far as moving in the right way and helping people, making things the best they can be, we're going to welcome in Ross Jackson from Locked On Saints back on the podcast. Recently heard him on here talking about how the Saints will utilize Chris Olave. Well, today he's here to help us continue our Buckeye road trip around the NFL, discussing on season expectations for Mr. Pete Werner. And joining us once again as we continue our Ohio State Buckeyes road trip around the NFL, it is Ross Jackson. He is the host of Locked On Saints. You heard him recently, maybe saw his face on YouTube, on the Locked On Buckeyes YouTube page, as we recap Chris Olave being drafted by the Saints. But as we know, the Saints have numerous Buckeyes on their roster, and today we're going to talk about one of them that they drafted last year. Ross, welcome back.
Hey, glad to be back here with you, man. We made a joke last time when you came and saw me over on Locked On Saints about co-hosting shows together. I mean, it's happening whether we want to get it done or not, right? Like, this pipeline is the pipeline no matter what.
You're exactly right. I think David will understand if at some point I make an appearance on your show for a week. David's like, what's going on? I'm like, just Ohio State time, man. Yeah, like, Ohio State runs this thing. But the Bayou is fun. I love the Bayou. I love the vibe that's going down there in New Orleans. I want to visit New Orleans to begin with, but the football team, I've always had a secret love for them. And I did love the draft pick they made last season, picking Pete Werner. And he's a linebacker, a fun guy, a guy that was – a staple, a big piece at Ohio State. And I wonder, what did we see from him last year that might make a Buckeye fans excited for him and what he'll do in year two in New Orleans?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things in particular that I'll highlight. First of all, I mean, and I'm sure that everybody has heard this about Pete Werner before, even while he was at Ohio State, that he is one of those guys that's kind of a jack of all trades, master of none, in that the guy can do anything you want him to do on the field. You need him in run support? Fine. You want him to blitz the passer? Fine. You want him to cover a tight end? Absolutely. So he goes out there every play, and he ends up being a three-down type of guy because you can put him in any role that you want to put him in. And so I think that's something that works really well for the New Orleans Saints, who really like versatility and multiplicity on the defensive side. You see that in their secondary, but they also utilize that a lot in their second level as well, moving guys around and then shifting linebackers based on pass situation versus run situation, all of that. So the Saints love the versatility of a guy like Pete Werner. So that's one part. The other part of it is the IQ. I mean, this was a guy that was forced into effectively being the quarterback of the defense up against the Miami Dolphins on Monday Night Football when COVID hit, and due to health and safety protocols, the Saints were down like 22 starters or something like that. And so with all of that, Pete Werner had to kind of step up into the DeMario Davis role and quarterback the defense, and he did a fantastic job with that. The New Orleans Saints love Pete Werner. They love what he brings to this team, both from the mental acuity side, but also his ability to make plays over on the defensive side in all levels of the game, being a four-phase coverage type of guy. And those things in particular should excite you about Pete Werner at the next level.
Ross, quick glance at Pro Football Reference. I don't go very far before finding something that sticks out in my mind. He played 15 games last year. only started 8. What was mm-hmm. Why was there a gap in between the games played and games started?
So this is something that the New Orleans Saints do quite a bit, right? Remember that a start means who's on the field the very first play, basically. And so with that being the case, there are going to be certain times where the Saints are going to try to match up linebackers and match up their defense to the opposing offense based upon what they think they're going to do early on in the game. And then they might re-sort of adjust after sort of diagnosing what the team is doing over the course of the first drive. So with Kwon Alexander and DeMario Davis being sort of the more dynamic players than DeMario, or dynamic pair than DeMario Davis and Pete Werner, especially as Pete Werner was learning the defense, there were a lot of times where they marched out Kwon Alexander before they marched out Pete Werner. There were also games in which the Saints took their first snap on a first and 10 on the defensive side with 3 linebackers on the field, and then there were other times where they took it with only 2 linebackers on the field in a nickel package with a third DB or with a third cornerback. So, for instance, going up against Seattle, first snap of that game, they probably came out in a 4-3 with 3 linebackers because that's going to be a run-heavy offensive attack. But going up against Tampa Bay, because they like to disguise against Tom Brady with their secondary, they came out in each of those games with only 2 linebackers on the field to start off the game. So that would impact those start versus games played numbers more than maybe, you know, than it is anything about a decision being made based on his acuity or readiness to be out on the field.
Ross, you mentioned something very well, very meticulous there, getting into the nitty-gritty details. Sometimes they come out in a 2 linebacker set. Sometimes they come out in a 3 linebacker set. Regardless of 2 or 3 linebackers that they utilize to start the game, is Pete Werner projected to be a starter for the Saints in this upcoming season?
In 2022, he absolutely is. I think that a 3 linebacker set now would be DeMario Davis, Pete Werner, and then maybe it's got to be some competition now between Zach Bond, Caden Ellis, and then their rookie 5th-round selection, DeMarco Jackson out of App State. So that would be their 3 linebacker set. But now the 2 linebacker set, which would have usually pushed Pete Werner off in certain situations. There were other situations where he was the second linebacker, but now he will be that one of those 2 linebackers. Even if the Saints, I believe, re-sign Kwon Alexander, who's currently still a free agent, I think that the pairing you're going to see the most on the defensive side when it comes to linebacker at the second level for the Saints is going to be DeMario Davis and Pete Werner in 2022. And that just comes with how quickly he developed and him getting that opportunity to show what he can do during that Miami Dolphins game as somebody that was able to come up and make plays in the backfield, make plays in the run game, make plays in the passing game, and quarterback the entire defense. I think that was a big time sort of coming out party for Pete Werner, the opportunity that he got in that game and the way that he was able to handle it. So yeah, I would expect him to be a projected starter, even if Kwon Alexander does return to the team in 2022.
It's almost like Ross read my mind, because I was going to ask the why after he said he's going to start in 2 or 3 linebacker sets. Then he did a great job of explaining that. That's why I love Ross coming on the show. He answers the question and then explains it. So even the natural follow-up that a host is going to have, Ross throws it out the window, because Ross is like, no, I got you, bro. I'm gonna carry this thing for you. Ross, though, final thoughts here about Pete Werner in 2022. I'm expecting him to stay healthy. I'm expecting him to start every single game, 2 linebacker set or 3 linebacker set. But what are your expectations for Pete Werner in 2022?
I think that's exactly it. I mean, he's a durable player. He's a reliable player. Like we mentioned, to open up all of this, he's somebody that does everything well. He might not be the biggest playmaker in the world, but with a Saints secondary, you don't really look at that from the second level. The Saints haven't been a team that has lived off of playmaking at the second level. That's not been their identity on the defensive side. So he fits in so perfectly with what it is that the New Orleans Saints do and how they measure success, which is, can you come up and make these plays? Can you communicate, can you execute on a down-by-down basis? And that's one of the things that's going to keep Pete Werner out on the field, is his ability to be able to execute. And just one example for you, a couple of years back, Kwon Alexander was sort of in a 2-gap situation to where he could have either cut to the inside of an offensive lineman or wrapped around to the outside of an offensive lineman while trying to make a tackle on Miles Sanders, the Philadelphia Eagles running back. He made the, at the time, ill decision of taking the inside track, which gave Miles Sanders the sideline, which you never want to give the running back the sideline, right?
Right.
You want to force him back into the congestion, force him back into the middle of the field. Pete Werner saw almost that exact same look going up against the Miami Dolphins, took the outside, forced the running back back toward the inside, and was able to, you know, other players were able to bring it into the play. But those types of decisions are the things that are measurable success within the New Orleans Saints defense, not interceptions, not pass breakups, not sacks, not those things. Did you make the right decision, and did your defense live to fight another down because of it? And Pete Werner seems to always make that right decision, and that's something the New Orleans Saints are going to love, and that's part of my expectation for him in 2022 for sure.
Ross, it's always fun when you're on the show. If you could let everyone know before you go where they can follow you on Twitter and some of the great things you're doing at Locked On Saints and also the Saints Wire as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. So easiest place to follow me, of course, is going to be on Twitter at Ross Jackson NOLA, N-O-L-A, because I love to rub it in where I'm from and what I do. and the Locked On Saints podcast, just like the Locked On Buckeyes podcast here, is every Monday through Friday covering some of your favorite Buckeyes over with the New Orleans Saints. And we also have a bunch of write-ups and everything that we're getting done over at saintswire.usatoday.com as well. Keep me up to date with everything going on with those former Buckeyes and the New Orleans Saints as a whole.
It's always fun. Ross, this is not going to be the last time he's on the show. We got a show with Michael Thomas coming up soon, and then some more, of course, that pipeline. Buckeyes that are now in New Orleans. We're going to keep this Buckeye road trip around the NFL. Keep moving along. Ross, thanks for coming back, man. I really appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure, homie. Thanks for having me.